Okay, so I have many, many items, but let me see if you guys want to add any items to the agenda.
I'm assuming one of the items you have is the budget beautification.
So I have SPF, budget update, which includes 286K, innovative schools grant, which I have a folder for, personnel update, office changes, tardy and absences, out of state, out of country, and dress code. That's what I have. Dress code. We got 1 hour.
Plenty.
Did you say conferences?
I didn't, but I could add conferences.
Just touch base.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and start there.
Okay.
So we moved, if you weren't here last time, we moved conferences from the week of the 18th and 19th to the week of the 23rd and 24th. And the sole reason that we did that is because there were no buses available, not even charter buses were available because of athletics during the week of conferences, which is district conferences across the board. We were just too late to book. So when Roxy looked at entering all the data, she found that the following week there were all this availability. So I said we were going to do it last week, so let's do it this week. Let's get charter buses. It feels better and more friendly for parents to get on charter buses than school buses. Each night of conferences, we're going to have two buses from each of the two major complexes. The closest complex is right down the street. We're not sending buses to that one, and we're not sending buses to Twin Towers. I think we only have 8 students from Twin Towers. Okay, but the Grace Apartments and Pine Creek Apartments, 2 buses. Because it was too difficult to work out, we're not going to be able to have alternating routes. We hope to bring one bus, send one bus back and out, so we couldn't stagger them. So we're just going to take what they've given us, 2 buses. Roxy's Bridges program is not going to be operating in typical Bridges. She's going to be having a movie and childcare for kids 5 to 12 years old in the auditorium with movie snacks, take care of the kids for a parents' conference. Conferences will be held in the gymnasiums and cafeteria. Roma is in charge of delineating who goes where. So if you have a special need or a special request for where you'd like to be, just see Roma. She doesn't have anything set, so
okay.
And I haven't seen any semblance of a plan, so I'm sure whatever you recommend or suggest is what she can do for you.
Okay. And also, the 24th is the first game for our volleyball and flag football team.
Oh, that's right.
So we talked to Jose about that. The kids that have parents here that are conferencing and want their child to stay can do that. Otherwise, the rest will leave at the 6:15 ASA bus when they get back from West High School. Because they both play at West High School, they'll come back and leave at our regular 6:15 time. But if their parents are here and they've made arrangements with their parents, and I'll talk to the coaches to announce that they can stay and conference with the parents and
Friday,
the teacher.
Friday the 18th is still a comp day? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So let me talk to you about that. So like I've said all along, I depend on your professionalism. I've had two staff members reach out and say, I've already made arrangements for the 25th. How can I make that time up? And really, I never ask teachers to make a specific time up. Be professional. Tell me the additional time. And it could be when you're grading papers, when you're working on a weekend. Give me those 3 hours and some semblance of an email and say this is, or reach out at a different time to meet with parents. But don't go do extra stuff to prove that you work more than your 8 hours. That's just an exercise. It's an exercise in just showing more. So we want it to be fair for everyone. If you've already made plans, like this one person who's talked to me, she's got a flight out. She can't do it. So that's cool. But so we're going to take our comp day prior to the conferences. If something should arise and you can't make it to one of the conferences, this is for you guys and all staff. Just let me know and we'll work something out. But don't try to create more hours to work. That doesn't work.
And the last thing about conferences is having the grade book fully functional so that we can print out grade, so we can show people. From my computer, look at everything and get, or print out just a one-page report for a student.
So. Catherine, will you make sure that goes into the notes for school leadership team to remind teachers to get their grades done?
And also, last year I handed back CMAS scores during conferences. Do you know if that will be available?
So I don't know. I think they're very late with the SPF, which you're getting tonight.
Okay.
I don't know that they're going to have CMAS scores.
Okay.
Disaggregated by student.
Okay.
When they do come out, though, I want to talk to you guys about doing some counseling with students around, this is where you're assessing, mm-hmm. this is where you need to be assessing. Mm-hmm. I don't think kids are aware at this right. level where they are.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing, you know, the issue with the grade book is like it only came online 3 weeks or so ago. Mm-hmm. And like kids can't see their aggregate grade. They can now see missing assignments. They can see what they're earning on different assignments, but they have no sense of, am I failing? Am I doing well? Where am right. I? So, yeah.
When you do standards-based grading, does not meet expectation means nothing. And so they're still
using we've have to put in points. It's not standard-based grading anymore. So.
But this is the first time.
Yeah.
This is the first time we're doing that. So they're going to need some education on what that means.
I've never done this, but I know other schools have had success with trying to do like student-led conferences where teachers do some training on like this is where you're at, that same type of philosophy, this is where you need to be, and then students talk their parents through it in front of the teacher.
Yeah, it's a lot to put together.
That's a very sophisticated manner to deliver them.
In this short amount of time.
Yeah.
I would also tell you,
170 students.
from a parent perspective, I don't want to hear from my kid because my kid tells me every day what they're doing at school. I want to hear from my teacher what's my kid doing. And so from a parent perspective, when my kids were going through the first phase, I think probably 25 years ago, of student-led conferences, it was a big thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it gives the parents the information they need.
Yeah. When does the grade book open for grades?
We can open it anytime.
Okay.
I think it's open right now to be able to input regular
but
grades,
for report
but the official,
cards?
I don't know. I don't think. But I don't know if kids can actually, you know, see a roll up grade as the semester, as the trimester goes along. So, I've got a C now. I got a, you know, what can I do to bring my grade up?
Katie, would you email Ryan and ask Ryan and Mariah? I think it's actually Mariah, but Ryan can help make sense for Mariah. So email them both, would you please, from the SLT around when do grades open for us to be able to share and print report cards.
It's the same as it's always been. You can generate a report like where you could print them all out and then weekly they could kind of get like a progress report. That's a function on IC. If you want to like keep kids updated on their grades.
I can always do that, so I don't know what your lens is because I have different rights. So I can always see what the kids are doing.
But I've been trying to find a report that makes sense, and the reports I see are 2 pages long.
See if Daniela can help you.
Okay. The calendar says that grades open November 1st through the 8th for report cards. That's what the assessment calendar says.
That's too late for us.
That's what I thought.
It's too late. Would you ask? Because we can open them anytime we choose to. Mariah controls that.
Jose, can I ask a clarifying question about the buses? Are there, in your first email, you said 2 buses to Grace on one night, 2 buses to Pine Creek on a different night?
There's 2 buses each night.
Oh.
Going to each place.
Yes.
So 1 to Grace, 1 to Pine Creek.
There's 4 buses.
Four buses. 2 to each.
Per night.
Okay.
So 2 to Grace, 2 to Pine Creek on Wednesday. 2 to Grace, 2 to Pine Creek on Thursday.
Yeah, so that was different in one of the emails you had sent out. So for any teachers that are trying to schedule.
I didn't bring my folder, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Okay.
One more thing that I was thinking about with conferences is sending something home. So middle school all talked about it, and we want to send just one sheet for them to sign up for one day, one of the 2 days, not assigned times. Should we do an official PBA letter home or just send something?
Because I think the lower academy is doing different things. They're setting up appointments with people. Yeah. I think they're doing something different. You want to do it for middle school only, set up for
just send
school.
It. Okay.
So they don't get swamped in one night.
Right, and what's going to happen is they're going to say, well, I have an appointment with my fourth grader. I want to go for my seventh grader at the same time.
Right.
And
right.
So that's what they're going to want to do.
Okay, so if we just come up with middle school to go and just come up with one.
And like most new things, I think this first year is just going to be a mess. Just expect that. Mm-hmm. Know that we'll get to see the parents that we can see, and we'll discover the problems we have, and then we'll rectify those. Not for the spring, because spring conferences are so different. But for next fall, I'd like to have the date set for conferences before we leave this year, and order buses for next year before I leave. So.
Now it sounds like it's all going to go arena conferencing is... Unless we're just so swamped, unless we have parents sitting 10 deep waiting to hear.
Open house style always produces that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So you just have to remember, we can only talk for 5-10 minutes at most. We can't have a lengthy conversation.
Roma Rossi Acuto. Jessica and Alex are going to be teaching. Jessica, Alex, and Therese are going to be putting together health workshops for parents during those nights, if during times that they're waiting. And they'll be in Anthony Cefalo's and Lauren Funai's rooms.
Mm. Okay.
In case parents want to know about what they're offering. Okay. Budget update. So, in the final analysis, after I double the amount we can spend for conferences, field trips. I double the amount we could spend for copies. I double the amount we could spend for, what was the third thing? Field trips, copies. No?
Subs.
No, subs. I doubled subs. We still have, and we got rid of one campus security officer after we discovered there's nothing they can do, really, truly. You can't call them for anything. They can't round up kids. They can't go through hallways. They can't gather. They can't do the stuff we're needing. And we've decided to go with a dean of culture. When all the sand settles around that, we have $286,000 of unencumbered money. When I meet with Mario Friday, he's going to want me to know how much money I should put in the carry forward budget for next year. All that means is we're taking a block of money and we're saying, we want this to go forward into next year. We're going to try not to spend it. It's like a savings account. I don't know what the district can do with that because it stays in our account. They don't take the money away from us. I'd like to tell him, if it's okay with everybody here, that we'd like him to put away $200,000. If something happens and we have to spend that, we can absolutely spend it. Otherwise, knowing whatever else we have left over this year, we'll add to that $200,000 to be carried forward into the next year. Is that okay with everybody?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And like I said, it's just a savings account. That's all it is. It's still our money. In addition to that, we have an innovative schools grant that we're in phase four. This is the 2016 bond, and it's for innovative schools, innovative classrooms. Now, this conversation in conjunction with Office Moves, we have $200,000. It's to beautify our school in ways that the public will see and the ways that we will feel the impact. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of an order of priority, what I'm thinking, but you tell me what you're thinking and certainly reach out to other people and find out what they're thinking. I meet with the man who's going to supervise for us on Wednesday, but it's an evolution, right? It will be determined based on what people are looking at, and I'm going to share this information with CSC tomorrow. The areas, the first priority for me is the cafeteria. I'd like to move out of institutional tables and move into round tables where kids can have conversations and it can be more welcoming as opposed to the institution we have. That's not gonna be a big dollar amount. We're also gonna be moving Jessica, Aragon, Alex, Matzek, Tammy, Carol, and the new Dean of Culture all into that space that is Ellis Island. I'd like to redesign Ellis Island so that we have a mindfulness area in the room that's more welcoming to guests, that it's just a more inviting place for kids to de-escalate, a welcoming place for kids to go to, and it's not just the discipline office. So I'd like to, that's number two for me in my head. A little bit around the front of the school, just in differentiated seating instead of those kind of institutional benches. Again, not a big dollar amount, just a different way of looking at that. The rest of the money, then, I want to do an inventory school-wide,
I asked for these last year, and I got cut down, too.
So I'm not saying no. I'm actually saying no, but you guys get to decide.
What is it?
The drinking fountains that are...
Water
bottles?
Yes.
Let's get 55 of them. Everyone in favor? All right.
No, I just asked for two to put in the gems. I got the quote. I did all the work, and she said
they're about $10,000 a piece.
There we go.
Only because
my quote was eight.
We've got to get power. We've got to get power to the source of the water, and that just.
But the one in the hallway outside my office already has power. Can we just put one there?
It's not about you. So let me finish. Okay, cafeteria, Ellis Island, front of school, and. Replenish the bad desks and tables we have in classrooms, right? We have some pretty modern ones, other ones that are just like in the fifth grade classrooms. That's what we're going to buy today if we buy them. So we shouldn't have to replace those. And then I'm not opposed to having the drinking fountains. Truly, I'm not opposed to that. we have to discover how far the money goes. The other thing I would tell you is that two people, Dan Stone, who has done this kind of work before, is going to organize it all. Because when I did it at Bryan Webster, I really screwed it up and stopped the process. Like, I couldn't figure out the desk counts because it's just too, it's involved. And Elvina, too, who's working in a leadership program at UNC, want to help support the school in doing the intros and determining what it is we're going to be putting where. So, that being said, $200,000, if it's spent right, will go a long way. I've had recommendations from people that we shop for cheaper furniture. Understand that school furnishings are different than buying furniture for your home. It has to be flame retardant. It's got to go past the test to serve 10 generations of students. So that's 10 years of kids. And so it has to be a higher quality of furniture. It can't just be stuff that you find cheaper just because we get more for the money. I don't know when more money will come around, so we want to be smart about this. But just to let you know, there are some real areas where I think we could make some major gains in terms of the issues that we constantly are plaguing us daily in terms of taking care of kids. The cafeteria is the biggest. That is just like, before we put new furniture in there, we have to do, we talked about it this morning, where they burn sage.
When you go through,
because
get all the bad energies out.
Yeah, so much bad energy.
Yeah.
Kids walk in and it's just like.
Yeah. Can we put like soundproofing on the walls so it doesn't echo?
We can.
Calming colors.
We can do calming colors. We can do soundproofing. And they're just panels. They're just cloth panels.
Just so things don't reverberate off.
Right. We can do different colored round tables to delineate grade levels. We can do lots of stuff there. None of that costs more money than just, it doesn't cost more money to get a different color. Mm-hmm. So.
Do you have any idea, like after those four places you identified, like a very rough guesstimate of how much that will cost?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
And then how much will be left over?
I have not. And that's for information for us after we've met with all our constituents about what's going to happen. Just so if there's money left over, we decide what we're going to do with it.
So Dan Stone and Elvina too, or
they've agreed.
And they're like interviewing people or sending out.
No. They haven't done anything yet until I meet with you and meet with CSC and I meet with the man who's helping us to organize this.
Uh-huh.
And that's on Wednesday. After that, I'll meet with Dan and Elvina and say, okay, these are the to go. You know. Ready, set, go. This is what we can do.
But will they come and send like a survey out? Is there anything that you might? Because I know like Val's science. She's got these old folding, whole bunch of mixture of science tables that are really.
Well, I think that becomes part of the work. That becomes part of the work of organizing what are our needs in the school.
But I mean, but that
it comes back to us to prioritize the work.
It will be asked.
I hope so.
Dan,
I can't imagine
they send out a. Yeah. A survey or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's pretty thorough about that stuff.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Any other questions about the budget?
I don't think so.
Okay. But a personnel update. We still have four positions out. One of them that's out is the Dean of Culture. I understand Travis has to be trained in personnel committee. And
yeah.
You'll be trained on Thursday?
Thursday.
I'm going to push Roma when she gets back tomorrow, if she gets back. She's not feeling well. If she can push those interviews to Friday or Monday for a Dean of Culture, knowing how long it takes to onboard somebody in this district, I just want that to move quickly.
So we have applicants?
Yes, we do. We do have applicants. I don't know how many because Roma couldn't update me today. But we had four applicants as of Friday. So I don't know how many applied over the weekend. And we have hired a dean, a site assessment leader, which is the work that Sando was doing last year.
Oh,
and she continues to do this year, but she's got a different caseload this year. She can't be doing SAL work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that SAL will start tomorrow morning. And trial by fire, right? She starts, and it's been about a 6 or 8 week process to get her on board. So she's going to be in an ISA team meeting, tomorrow meeting with Lena Quintero, from the central office, because those assessments for when kids enter the building to determine whether or not they are second language learners have to occur immediately. So the SAL will be with Ryan for the first hour of the morning. It's a trial by fire. So that's all I know about the personnel. I would also like for the committee to consider this. I'm going to say this as tactfully as I can. Our main office is not known as the most friendly main office in the city. I would like for the for us to consider as a school hiring a para position, if you know of anybody who could fill this spot, to sit. We've already hired one para. They're going to be, the woman is actually working in the cafeteria and will be working in the main office as the attendance clerk. So we'll have an attendance person full time. It's a para position. Okay. Then we're going to have Lisa, whose job is registrar and supporting with attendance, and then Luli, who's the office manager. We're going to have those. They're already there. I would like for us to consider having a welcome person in the Ellis Island once we have five people working there, so that we can greet kids as they come in, and kids can't go there just to hang out without checking in. Because what I can see, kind of on the horizon, is that we have a welcoming place for kids, we have a mindfulness corner, we have a place where kids can just go be, and we have no system of checks or balances for who goes in and who comes out. Well, I was waiting for Miss K. Well, she said she was going to meet me here, and now we've got six middle schoolers just hanging out. Mm-hmm. So we need a system for someone to be there permanently to check on kids. And because Jessica and Alex and Tammy and Carol get involved, they're not always going to be supervising what's happening in that big outer office.
Right.
That would be good to track some of the behaviors and other issues we're seeing.
Right. And like Therese has to do with kids who are coming down every day fourth period for a Band-Aid. Going to know, we're not giving out Band-Aids every day fourth hour. What's going on? So it's time to cue in somebody else for what's going on with this kid that they are always leaving the classroom.
We have Band-Aids in our classroom.
I know. Sometimes kids need TLC, and when that happens, then we can cue in our social workers, our school psych, or our counselor to support that kid. But that's what this move is.
Yeah.
This move of getting them out of the clinic and moving them into the school is really about providing that wraparound service for kids without it causing chaos in our school, which is a lot of what we see on this side.
When will that happen, the move?
The move is going to happen October 21st and 22nd, the two teal days. As quickly as we can get our Dean of Culture on board is when they'll move into their office. The furniture moves are going to happen when they happen, as soon as we can get the furniture ordered.
Okay. Thank you.
So that'll be a para position who would be in the office?
I would recommend a para position. We can get a para. And probably a Spanish or Arabic speaking para who will just greet kids coming in there. We can probably get them for about $30,000.
Would it be only in Ellis Island or in the office?
Only in Ellis Island. Why do you ask that question? Why are you laughing?
David's wife needs a job. I'm saying, get your wife over here.
She makes more than me. If she needs, we're in real trouble.
Okay. So it's a para to support Ellis Island.
Yeah.
That's a tough position too, though.
Yeah.
I feel like someone coming in contact with all of those kids that are probably going to be already elevated.
What about Mr. C?
Ooh.
Who's Mr. C?
Mr. Collins.
Just give him the loud blowhorn and.
Well, that's possible.
He's your long-term sub guy,
yeah,
too.
And he's having some personal struggles right now with his mother who's ill.
Okay.
So he has to be available to be off at any given point.
Okay.
So I'd like
and
to honor that.
And we want someone in there. Okay.
Yeah. That's about it for office changes. We're going to move Louie out of his office. Jessica is actually taking that office. Jessica Aragon is taking the front office. And Alex has taken the office that was Janet Walker Snyder's. Janet Walker Snyder has moved to the GT room. Louie, the CSO, is going to move to room 180, which is currently the paper room. And the paper's all going to be housed in the workroom, where it should be.
All right.
Cool.
Anyway.
Shuffle.
All the paper that's next to the
drama room.
Drama room?
Yes.
That's all going to be in
the workroom where the computer, where the printers are.
Oh, in that room. I'm thinking of. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the
it just makes sense.
We probably get rid of some of those like 1980 die cuts too. Maybe.
Some people. People
those are actually essential to my teaching. So.
I know some people are going to kill me about this.
I'm with you. I did a bulletin board myself using that die cutter. I about threw the whole set away just because it's so frustrating. Anyway, but people do like it. We have to have a conversation about the dress code.
Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock. I have 30 minutes. We have to have a conversation about the dress code, about the SPF, and about tardy absences and out of state, out of country. So we have always made up urban myths about how late does a kid have to be in order to count them absent. Some people say 10 minutes, some people say 30 minutes, some people say if they don't show up for the last 5 minutes, the truth is that there's a myth about that. It's up to a school to make a decision about what their policy is and hold to it. The same is true for out of state, out of country. We have said if a student leaves to go to another country and lets us know, they're always unexcused, but after 10 days we withdraw them and end date them their last date of attendance, so it doesn't count against us. Again, we have discovered that's not true. It's up to the school to set a policy, communicate the policy, and live by the policy. So this is not something that we get to decide as 10 members. This is something that we want to ask our staff about. I have an attendance committee. I need to know from the school what is their preference for how long how late is too late to be counted present? And how many days? Well, this is what I like to do. I think if I'm a parent and I'm taking my son out of school, I want that to be excused for my son. I can't leave him at home. He's 9 years old. We're going somewhere. So it should be, in my opinion, should be excused. We could still live by 10 days out, and we're going to disenroll you. Excused doesn't account against our attendance on the SPF. Unexcused does. So however SLT wants to do it, to ask the teachers, I meet again with my, and it's just Alex, Jessica, Therese, and myself, and Lisa, who are on the attendance committee. We meet a week from this Thursday. So if a week from Wednesday, I could know kind of a school consensus of a period of time, that would be great.
Like how many days out of country? Or?
Well, 10 days out of country is kind of standard.
Okay, that's
10
standard.
Days and we're going to end date you.
So then if they come back after 10 days, do we re-enroll them? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And count the first day of attendance from the first day enrolled after they've returned.
Oh, okay.
And that when we can end date them, then we don't have the multiple days counting against our attendance.
Okay. So I guess, are we asking staff, do we want to go with the standard 10 days, or do we want to make it shorter, longer?
No, I think we're going to go with the standard 10 days.
Okay.
I want to know if they think it should be excused or unexcused.
Okay. Okay.
What happens is sometimes they'll come back on the 10th day, so now we've got to count all those unexcused days against us.
Mm.
It seems logical to me that if excused is not going to count against us, we want to excuse the kid.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And that just seems like a no-brainer,
yeah.
But I don't want to go against what has been the practice, just unilaterally decide we're going to play the game to win.
Yeah.
I still have one student, he's been gone 3-4 weeks, and he's still on my roster.
So
when does he get?
He gets taken off the roster when we get a request from another school to enroll him. And so anywhere in the country, they're going to have to ask request records from the previous school. Right? Some schools are slower than
others.
I know
he's already at another school, so they've never
made
a request for records.
They ultimately will. They have to. That's a law. They have to request records from a previous school. Sometimes they don't share with them what school they were at before. Sometimes they say we were in Texas, or we just came from Mexico, or whatever they say. So, you know, there's no way for us to get around that system. But we can't take them off our rolls. We can't take them off until we hear from another school.
Every
also,
day I've got to mark them absent.
Who's the student? Because I think some.
I have two in my class.
I have two also. Narek and Justin.
Yeah, well, Justin just left last week, but Narek's been gone for a while.
I would send me an email, because I'll meet with the committees. Just send me the email. This kid's been gone this many days. I'll check on
it. It's just an inconvenience to have to always, like, remember to mark them.
Yeah. Also remind teachers in any way possible to continue to take accurate attendance. We've discovered a couple of kids who we know have moved. They've done a request of records. They're marked red in campus, and the teacher has not taken attendance to mark them absent. They're just not taking attendance. They're just clicking OK. There's some really obvious blatant.
That's a real problem with second grade, because they go to specials first and then ELD. And every day it says all my kids are here. And
that's
every day it's not true.
Is there a certain time of day, like for elementary, by which like the attendance needs to have been taken and then it like gets sent somewhere? Or is it just by the end of the day it needs
typically
to be done?
We would say whatever the time we set, 9:15 attendance must be taken, and then we just start the robocalls. That's the purpose for having a set time.
Oh, I
and
see.
Then we just push the button for now, start calling all those numbers for kids who are on it. And the message is just your son or daughter has missed one or
right.
more periods during the day. So it's whenever we decide. When we say a bus gets here at 9:50 and say, please excuse these students, then we're going to wait longer to send the robocalls out until attendance is taken. I've asked the secretaries to stop sending out mass emails for everybody to do accurate attendance. I said a preponderance of people are doing accurate attendance. If you have a teacher or teachers who are not doing that, I need their names. And then I'll have that conversation with them about the importance of taking accurate attendance. I think you have to address it one-on-one at some level.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of that for teachers is that I don't need to teacher evaluations, and so it's not going to be reflected in professionalism. but really, it is important for teachers to take accurate attendance in case there's an emergency in school. We need to know where these kids are. I mean, that's just...
And it's connected to the tardy. There's so many kids coming in tardy. I don't have time to go back to the attendance and correct it. So I've marked them tardy or absent, and then at the end of class, when I have a moment, I just go back and
that's fine.
Correct it and
that's
fine. Say.
That's accurate attendance.
Yeah.
That's
and
accurate attendance.
The other
I can't
issue.
Tell you the number of times, because I worked in a classroom at an age where we didn't have computers, and I'd go through my attendance book, and then I'd have to walk down to the office and erase two names because they actually showed up. It's the same process. So things haven't changed in many, many years. It's just, it's a pain in the butt, but kids aren't on our schedule.
And I really appreciate what Mariah and Ryan are doing, especially Mariah with the getting the kids in the proper classes. I have given her several names that third graders are in my class, but they're not on my roster. So when I go to give grades, they're not going to be there. I know she's been very busy, but...
She'll do as much as she can.
Yeah, right. Just because if that child's not going to get a grade for his special or her special, I don't know what an issue it would be, but just before grades are put in, that would be something that we need to make sure I see is updated.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I agree. Just let them know, let me know.
Okay.
We'll move on as many things as we can move on.
Great.
Our days are resplendent with issues.
It seems like the big thing you need feedback on then is how late should a student be to count as tardy. Is that right?
I do.
Okay.
Count as
we were talking about this the other day. How late do we?
Yeah.
Do we
and people are doing different things across the board, across the entire school. They're doing different things.
Okay.
And sometimes, depending on their mood, it's like I'm in a bad mood today. No, you were late. I'm not going to count you at all. I mean, come on. Kids don't have a chance when they're guessing.
If they're coming in after the bell or after the clock, you know, by a couple minutes, they're tardy.
Yeah, they're tardy.
Like at 30 minutes, then. See, here's the conundrum I always have: is kids come in and I've been in the nurse for 30 minutes.
Okay, then she can excuse you.
So you just mark them present.
We mark them present, but then it's unexcused, tardy. But the nurse can mark them excused. She can change it to excused. So whatever excuse they're using, then have the nurse change it. Because I marked you unexcused tardy.
Yeah.
Then you have the nurse change it. You don't have to go back and change it.
There you go. That sounds good.
But what we're going to be asking is, do we consider 10 minutes late tardy versus 20 minutes?
At what point
absent?
Does it turn into an absence?
Right.
They're tardy if they're 1 minute late. They're tardy.
No, right.
Okay, but
at
what point does it turn into an absence?
Right. So, like, I had somebody show up 20 minutes late today in fourth period after lunch. Is that an absent or is that tardy?
Yeah. That's
So I think a lot of people were talking about that last week, even.
So we need to find out.
time limit we want.
And understand, for me, it's urgent because I need to know in a week, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to tell the attendance committee this is how we're going to start playing the game.
Okay.
But the truth is, we don't, if it's a bigger issue than I'm making it right now, then we can wait more time if people need more time to discuss. Mm-hmm. The truth is, we want to be on the same page moving forward. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. And I don't want people to have to come back to committee and say, well, that was a stupid decision. 20 minutes is too long. I don't want that to be, you know, perseverating on something that we made a bad decision on. Really, I want a good decision to be made that we can all stick by.
Okay. The other thing with absences or tardies even, some people, I think, go in and write little notes when they do. Oh, yeah. Is that something that would be helpful or
it's
not?
Still
or
helpful.
Is that something? Okay.
It's still helpful. Yes.
Okay.
They emailed us and said that was not helpful because they could not see it. Please don't do that.
Who said that?
I remember some email that said that.
Absolutely, I believe. Because when, like, a lot of times, like, the parents dojo me and say, like, Yusuf's sick today, please excuse him. And so I go in and I write, parent told me he's sick, and they said, please don't, like, they can't see that.
So the misunderstanding is, they can't see, they don't know if the kid's in or not, if the parent's telling you and you're entering the absence. They need to know in the main office.
Okay.
But we can.
So I can't write it in there.
They don't go looking for it. There's no way for them to search which teachers made a comment about kids' absences.
But if they needed to go back and check records or something, then we have those notes.
And in fact, we do look at those records when we send kids to court. So okay, let's look at all the reasons why this kid was absent. Because the teacher is our first line of defense, right? We can't see those. All we have to do is hover over tardy, and it will tell us. The comment is visible to us.
Okay. So keep putting it.
Keep putting it.
But also keep let it. Office know.
Tell them they should call the office to report it.
And I think the issue is if the kid, you've taken attendance and then the kid comes to school and you're marking the attendance or changing the attendance,
right.
They don't have visibility to that. They're seeing is that the kid wasn't here.
Teachers should put in, if the kid comes in to your room at 9:30, you need to put it in because otherwise the kid's still going to be absent when the kid comes to your room. That's what I'm experienced.
Yeah, we need to know if
you arrived at 9:30.
But just write a little note. Yeah, arrived at 9:30. Came to class so many minutes late.
I feel like the SPF is fast.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. So I want to go there next before we talk about dress code.
Acronym is SPF.
Performance framework.
The school performance framework.
Okay.
It's right here. So I have two for you. I have last year's and I have this year's. And I'm telling you why this is fast is because I don't think an hour is enough time to look at this.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to give you this because this is what I'm presenting tomorrow in our PD along with LEAP, LE1, and Intentionally Culturally Responsive Classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So those two items are on our PD for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have another opportunity to talk about this tomorrow and to talk about what that means for our Unified Improvement Plan
mm-hmm.
and what that means for us going forward. The reason I'm giving it to you first is because I committed to share with with the school leadership team all the information before CSC gets it, and CSC is tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
I don't even think it's necessary at this point to have a conversation. Just want to give you visibility into this. A couple of teachers have already picked this up out of my office. So I want to give it to you, and I want to talk about it more tomorrow, kind of what are our highlights and what are our areas of concern. I will tell you, just straight off, front page of both of these items, you will recognize that in 2017-18, this school went from green to yellow. We went down 5%. Last year, from 2018 to 2019, we went down another 5%. If we continue on that trend, we will be red next year. So we've got to stop going down.
Next year, meaning this year.
Meaning 2020.
Yeah, so our score.
The result of 2020, yes, SPS. Okay, so we've got to put the brakes and go, okay, really, when you think about it in the big, big picture, having students produce 5% more of whatever you're having them do is not a lot. But we've got to get behavior and school management under control in order for our teachers to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You will also see, and I say this to my leadership team often, that our middle school is supporting our money because they're bringing in lots of money in the middle school. They're packed. compared to our lower academy that's not so packed and doesn't have as many kids. However, our lower academy is supporting us academically, and our middle school, we're drowning. So, I mean, it's a cycle, right? It's a bad cycle to be in. If I had my way, and I think I might have a little bit of this, I'm going to prohibit us taking so many middle school kids, no matter the hardship, and jam-packing our middle school. There's no reason to be doing that to ourselves. We're shooting ourselves in the foot because we're packed in the middle school and not so much in the lower academy, and our middle school teachers are suffering.
Yeah.
So,
and kids are suffering.
Yeah. So what you have first is the small packet. This is a 16-pager. This is last year's SPF. And the reason, other reason I'm sharing this for you with you is because I understand that you guys did not have visibility into this documentation last year.
Than what was publicly available on.
Yeah. Oh, no. We share much more than that today. So this is last year's stuff. This was a year ago, in the fall, a year ago, this information was provided to the school. These are all the areas where you needed to improve. And there were some highlights, too. There were some areas where you were green, and those should have been highlighted for you. Don't have to look at that document. I just want to point out, this was 16 pages long. This year's SPF is 64 pages long.
What is the difference?
Well, there's not a lot of difference. I think they have just, in the spirit of transparency, put everything out for publication on these two documents, this one being the worst of the two. So it's going to take us a long time to get through this. We're going to have to address some of this in the UIP. You can see that bar at the top, how it's moved back and moved back. So we need to improve by 10% this year to take us to where we were 2 years ago. And that's a lot. Growing 4 percentage points is a lot. So I don't know that we're doing the wrong work. I just don't know that we're focused on the right work. That's all I'm saying. So here's the other piece, because I want to move on to dress code. I want you to write your names on these.
Oh.
And bring them to professional development tomorrow.
Okay.
Because you're not getting another copy there. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. This is a colossal waste of paper if we don't do something good with it.
It's in color.
It's all in color. Color doesn't cost us that much more, and you learn more from color. We're a technicolor world. So, but you're not getting another copy of the SPF.
Sounds like we're going to talk about this tomorrow, too, but, like, briefly, as someone who's looked at these for many years from that level, like, what do you try and take from this to act that can actually turn into actionable steps?
So tomorrow we're going to have for Promethean board, this has two columns, just highlights and areas of concern. Then on the 21st and 22nd, like, this isn't complex enough, we're going to give you lots more information that you have not been privileged to see, like student perception surveys, student accountability surveys, parent perception surveys, all those things that people have not been sharing with you. We're going to compound with this to say, okay, because when Ryan and Mariah and I and Roma look at this, it's real glaring to us about what needs to be done and how we're spinning in an area that we don't need to be spinning based on resource allocation. It's real glaring to us. We want it to be glaring to other people too, because otherwise what it feels and seems like is that we're doing whatever we want to do and you guys aren't getting what you need. That's what it feels like. So that will be layer two of this kind of turnaround. Ultimately, as a process of our professional development and our backwards planning days, I don't want us to be doing on December 22nd what we're doing on October 21st. I just don't want us to be doing the same thing as spinning around the same issues. I think we have a very enthusiastic and very capable staff who will simply do whatever we need to do to make us successful. But we haven't defined what do we need to do. And I can't just tell anybody, because it doesn't mean anything for me to just say this is what we need to do. People have to discover that. And they have to discover that through data. So, second phase. First phase is tomorrow. Just open the books. This is what it is. Take a look at it. These are some highlights, just first glimpse highlights. On October 22nd, we're going to do another deep data dive with all the data we have. And it's tons and tons of paper. We're all going to get together in table groups and grade level groups and whatever. And again, highlights and lowlights and determine our moves from there. Okay. So this is just first glimpse. Okay, dress code. There are people who want to address the dress code and issues relative to the dress code. One of those is, and I'll give you some simple things, like they want to talk about allowing kids to wear black pants. Kids are asking, can I wear black pants? I don't know what the issue is. Well, they just want black pants. There are other teachers who have started to ignore the hoodies issue, and kids are wearing all kinds of different colored hoodies. You can't see the uniform. It just becomes such a futile battle in terms of determining who's upholding to the uniform. Then we have parents who are saying, no, we want the school uniform. Oh, no, we want the school uniform. We don't want to have to go buy regular clothes for our kids. We don't have to have that fight every day about what they're wearing or not wearing to school. We want the school uniform. I have a fundamental issue with the only parents represented in that conversation are parents who are on the staff. We don't have outside of the school parents opinion about what to do. And those are the people on CSC. And I applaud them for being on CSC and in being involved on accountability and really being concerned enough about the school to care to attend. I do appreciate that. Theirs is not the only voice.
Sure.
So this school came to school a uniform dress policy as a part of a very, very long process. I don't have to make the process long, but I want all voices as a part of the process, because in the final analysis, when there's a new person sitting in the big chair next year, I don't want somebody to be able to come and say, well, we're just changing this. When Mr. Martinez is here and he said we could wear black pants, it's not my decision. I don't have to live with that. And what you have to police in terms of the school uniform is what you have to police. So you have to determine how far you have to go with this. It has to be a consensus about, we don't all have to agree black pants are necessary, but we have to agree that we're able to live with what we get as a part of this process. So wherever the conversation goes tonight and with CSC tomorrow, the greater community will have to have their voice as a part of this too.
Do we have access to that survey Carol, I believe, sent out earlier this year? It was a very quick
survey. Yeah, she had sent out a survey to staff in regards to dress code and
cell phones.
I don't remember it. So if she sent it out, I'm sure we do. Unfortunately, Carol has not gotten any better. And so...
Okay.
So yes, but no.
Okay.
And I'm not going to call her at the hospital and say, open up your box and tell
maybe
us.
Maybe we could send another one out.
I was saying, yeah. Well, can we redo that?
Did that survey include black pants on it for some reason?
It did.
It was pretty general. It's like, need to ask questions like, you know, if there is a dress code, how willing are you to, you know, spend the time to enforce it on a scale of 1 to 5 just to get, because to be perfectly honest, the dress code is one of these battles, it's like way down there on my radar. So, maybe it shouldn't be, but it is.
So if you have a uniform dress policy and you move to less policing of that policy and allow kids to start wearing whatever they want to wear, then the battles you fight are clothing that have symbols of alcohol or drugs on them or associated with gangs, or you bring in a whole nother pile of issues. Here's what I would give to you. If we reserve $200,000 and we took $15,000 of that $85,000 left and said, okay, hoodies are a problem, let's buy you hoodies. Now everything you wear has to say PBA.
Okay.
We'll buy you hoodies.
Yeah. No pockets.
We can decide the style. We can decide the style of the hoodie. So we're buying you hoodies. So you don't get to wear Under Armour. You don't get to wear this or that. And I would also like to take it to students and to say, students, you're not going to be allowed to wear your hoodies. So which of these styles would you like us to buy for you? Because everybody's going to get 2 hoodies.
Yeah.
The other thing I would like to say is use a portion of that money. It's not going to cost that much. For when we go on the field trips, that we buy every kid a PBA identifiable fleece vest for them to wear on excursions. When they go play games, you represent PBA.
Right.
I'm just saying,
no,
if the hoodies are an issue, let's give you the hoodie we want you to wear.
Right.
Also, we charge people lots of money for their uniform. We have hordes of shirts that Becca has literally hoarded. Hordes of shirts. Tons of shirts.
So can we give those out?
Well, we can. I don't say carte blanche, we give them out. But really, for the cost of those shirts at $3 a piece, it's $2,400 to outfit every kid in the school.
Yeah.
$4,800 to give them two shirts when the school year starts. I mean, if you think about the return on a dress, would you relinquish the ability to require uniforms?
For PE?
For PE.
No.
Just say no, we wear whatever. You can wear blue jeans.
No.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because it, some kids would wear Adidas. Other kids would wear a dirty white shirt from home because their parents can't afford the Adidas shirt. When they get the PE uniform, they all look the same. Mm-hmm. The shirt, the shorts that they buy also go with all of our uniforms, our athletic uniforms, so they don't have to buy another pair to be... We are only supplied the jerseys.
And what does that mean to you?
That means we look like a school. We play better. I would never give up PE uniforms ever.
So I asked the question, why are we backsliding on dress code?
Yeah, dress code, I agree.
We all believe in it. We just don't want to hassle with it.
I think also people aren't sure consequences for lack of dress code.
We just send them to Ellis Island to get to change?
Well, not now because we don't have anybody on the site. But ultimately, there could be, Travis, you're not wearing the right shirt. Here's a new shirt, and we're going to add this to your account. You owe us $3. Like a library fee. You owe us $3. You lost the book. You got to buy us a book. Mm-hmm. So at the end, and we can't uphold all of this, but in the final analysis, you're going to owe us some money, and we're going to have to talk to your parents about you owing the money for all of these shirts you're taking. So the consequence has to be a natural consequence. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it can be punitive. I can't see kicking a kid out of school for a day because they're not wearing the right shirt.
Yeah.
But we can get you the right shirt, get back to class, and you owe us $3.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm not all about throwing money at a situation, but truly, I don't think we've explored that enough in this school. It's a problem. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you what shirt to wear. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be big old ugly blue PBA.
Yeah.
But it could be a logo.
Yeah.
Or even the picture of the Roadrunner.
I would also say to you, the staff, we could buy staff some shirts that are not like the kids' shirts, that are PBA shirts, that are nice shirts.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That you choose your
please.
Size.
Oh, yes.
Please.
Well, I'm just saying, there are better ways to make us look like an academy.
Yeah, long sleeve tees.
Rather than a ghetto school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing it's going to happen pretty soon here, some of these rooms get really cold.
If we have
if
the
PBA, if we want to get fleeces or you know sweatshirts for the kids.
Well, here's the thing, Chris.
Just wearing a regular long sleeve shirt won't do it in the classroom.
Oh no! I was in my office this morning. I put on my coat.
It's freezing.
It was so cold.
So what are you going to do when they have turned off the chiller?
They have turned off the chiller. You notice it's not freezing.
That
freezing cold.
Like noon today. Yeah, it's hot in the afternoon.
Whew. And
it's going to be 80 tomorrow.
And then Thursday is going to snow.
And so the process took, it's not like a thermostat at home, guys. I mean, they have to crank up, those squirrels have to start running to get that sucker cranking. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to put the chiller back on this year. We're going to have to endure whatever it is.
It's not going
to
get on again.
Yeah. Okay, so we're off topic. So quickly we get off topic. Yeah. So here's the thing. We can still hobble along with the practice that we're currently doing, knowing if we have a plan in the future. So if it takes us 3 weeks to get hoodies, okay, so wear your hoodies, but the day will come when we distribute these in classes. Mm-hmm. I will also be looking for staff members, not administrators, who can coordinate efforts in the lower academy and upper academy to coordinate sizes. So, you know, go to your class, go to your class, go to your class. How many kids, what sizes, times two? And then we get them ordered. Mm-hmm. And I would say to you, there are some nice colors out there. I mean, I'm not a proponent of white hoodies because white hoodies are just so dirty.
Yeah.
But there doesn't have to be dark blue or ugly blue or giant PBA. It can be nice things.
Yeah.
Why not?
Is there a certain company that you are aware of?
I'm not aware of one.
Okay.
I was going to call Kevin McGuire, the athletic director at GW.
Oh, yeah.
Say, who do you use? Because we need a lot fast.
We usually go through Denver Athletic for all the athletic stuff.
We use Denver Athletic at my other school.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Yeah, and I know Guy is the one I work with PE uniforms. Oh. And
if I call Guy and say, hey, Guy, we have to order 1,600.
Yeah, he'll be here in a second.
Yeah. Denver Athletic. Would you give me his contact information?
How can we involve students more in like designing? Well, I would, like my Itcha could do, and
I would go to somebody like Eric Smith and Andrea Maecha and tell them we're going to be buying fleece, sweatshirts, fleece vests, and
hoodies
for kids. So pull your kids.
Yeah.
We'll show them. We're not going to give them a catalog and say pick. After we have vetted a design, and after the CSC has a better design,
stitch on logo,
our kids could design it.
Well, that's I think the kids could come up with a cool logo. I think that'd be an awesome idea.
Digital art class.
Dripping blood.
Yeah.
You work with middle school, don't you?
Knives.
No, I love that, though.
But remember,
but
when we
cool have, to
they can model it.
When we couple,
it could be a club.
I'm just saying, when we couple investment and involvement, we add time. Right? It takes more time to go through those processes.
Right.
Yeah. But at the same time, that investment might not be worth it if it's not done correctly.
Right.
Like the ugly blue PBA logos that no one.
Well, it's just so. I saw a couple sweatshirts that it's a PBA.
Yeah, they're horrible. No,
that's,
it's horrible.
And that's it.
Like, we paid for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's why people don't want to wear them.
It's called the Puerco Barbacoa Asada sweatshirt.
Puerco Barbacoa Asada.
Puerco Barbacoa Asada. That's what they call the sweatshirt.
Puerco Asada.
What's
the,
I think it's funny.
Puerto.
Puerto,
pork,
barbecue,
oh.
And...
basted.
What's
it's a
meat.
Marinade.
Yeah,
okay. So, so the dress code, really, advisory is really going to be CSC. Mm-hmm. And I'll make the same points with CSC tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Just know that it's on our radar.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys okay with a large expenditure if I can bend their will to say, let's start looking better?
Yeah.
I think in the long run, a lot of teachers will also be satisfied with not having to address things differently. Because everybody's everyone's approaching it differently.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. They're not wearing the right shirt. Come on, I'll get you another shirt.
But it's not just the shirts. The middle school boys are starting to wear their soccer sweatpants. Like today, Seth Pola was in the locker room, and I was standing outside, and he's like, why do you even care about dress code? They don't do anything to us. I'm wearing my soccer pants every day.
Yeah.
So.
Because we don't do anything.
Exactly.
Currently, yeah.
Exactly.
Because we don't do anything. Because it's too big.
There's too many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we get it all on one consistent school-wide policy, then
and removing some of those excuses too. I feel like it's hard to enforce it when kids are like, I don't have that shirt, or I don't have any money, or it's dirty.
I had a student cry the other
giving
day.
Them the...
So this involved, I think they were sixth graders, because it involved a fifth grader, but I think she was a sixth grader. He took ketchup and mustard and rubbed on her shirt. And she came to my office, and she was trembling. She said, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I just talk to you for a minute? I said, yes, baby, sit down. What's up? Because she was obviously upset. And she was angry at the student for having done that. But when I really got to the root of it, she said, my mom came home late last night. She was really tired. And she washed this for me. And I had to wear it for 2 days because she can't wash it again for me tonight. And I have to go for 2 days with this shirt with all those more. I mean, it's real. Yeah. It's real. She doesn't have the ability to go home, throw in the washer. It's real. So I went down to Travis's room. I said, where's the washing machine?
We do that all the time.
That's what I was going to ask, because I've heard of some schools that have washer and dryers in their school so kids can wash.
We do have one. You just have to be careful going into Lindsay's room. You know, because those kids can get set off a little bit. So just go through my room.
There's one in the basement, too.
There's also a washer and dryer in the basement the custodians use. Okay. So we were able to get the shirt washed and dried and nicely, neatly folded for her to take home, and it made all the day better. And you know that little girl, every time she sees me, she smiles and says, hi, Mr. Martinez. That's just because the struggle is real.
Yeah.
And they want to do it.
Yeah.
Even if we bought Under Armour hoodies that are pullover, they don't want zip-ups. They don't want cardigan style.
No, they don't.
Mr. Rogers style hoodies.
Yeah.
That's my style.
Yeah.
Give me a zip up any day. I'm going to mess up my hair. But even if we got Under Armour and said, let's call this guy from Denver Athletic, and what kind of deal can you get me on Under Armour?
Mm-hmm.
kids will die for Under Armour PDA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sponsored.
So here's a short story. It's overtime. Short story. My son came over for dinner. Him and his wife and my two grandbabies came over for dinner, and he's wearing a jacket yesterday, and it said Bear Creek High School. And I said, and it's Patagonia, right? And I go, that's a pretty nice shirt for a high school. And he's activities director. He's an assistant principal. And I said, so did you pay for that? And he said, no, school budget paid for it. He said, all of our kids wear this stuff, Dad. And so when I ordered enough for them too. And I said, how much was that? And he said, $75. I said, those are for athletic fees? He goes, it's all kinds of fees, Dad. But once everybody has access to it, nobody complains about it. You know, your kid's getting this. They're not complaining what you're spending extra to get yours because their kids get it too.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I knew that.
Patagonia it is.
That's right. So it won't be Patagonia. But I'm thinking, I'm sure this guy has a deal that he can make with.
Yeah.
Because I see Kevin McGuire, the athletic director at GW, and their kids don't wear Walmart knockoffs. They're wearing nice stuff.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And they buy that stuff.
Yeah.
And not every day, and maybe not every year, but this year and this time, we have it.
Yeah. Use it.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like it.
I believe the money for this year should be spent on the kids for this year, except for $200,000. I think that has some care. That's just prudent. That's just being a good steward of money. We got some money. Let's save a little bit. Yeah. Anything else for the good of the cause? I feel like I talked the whole time, but I had a huge agenda. This month is long.
Thank you.
I've got to take this to SLT. So tomorrow, CSC will get all of this information. I will meet with the furniture guy about those priorities for us on Wednesday, and Dan and Elvina will carry that forward.
Cool.
And that's where we are.
All right.
You guys, if you have agenda items for SLT, send them to me so that I'm not discovering as I go through the school what issues we have to bring forward.
Can we maybe get like a list or something before SLT? Like just a quick email or something before.
Okay. I'm old school. I write it down. Mm-hmm. And go,
no, that's cool.
I can make a copy of this.
That's fine.
I wrote an email.
I think you're going to have to come together around look fors and a principal because it's quickly coming.
Coming up soon.
And I'm never involved in the process. I never have been in any of my schools. The IS will swoop into the school and develop committees around who we're selecting for the person to sit in the big chair, and I'm never a part of those processes. My job is to keep this school running, and I do the very best that I can to do that. So I think as an SLT, you're going to have to begin having a conversation in look fors and qualities that you're looking for in new leadership. Okay. Also understand that not everybody has made a decision, but Mariah is a gift this year to the school. We pay nothing for her. She was given to us from the IS department, so we pay nothing for her. Ryan may make decisions to go elsewhere.